everybody. Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm Betsy Thompson, and I'm so excited for you to get to meet our friend that is here with us today. This is Cliff Neal. Thanks for coming and hanging out.
I'm glad you asked me.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun, y'all. Cliff is one of our teachers in our Connect groups. And, you know, we've been going through a series this summer really focusing on our Connect groups and why they're important. And part of that is getting to know some of the people that you could come and hang out with in Connect groups. So, Cliff, first question, how long have you been at Sagemont?
That's actually a difficult question because I came to Sagemont for a couple years when I was sort of in between ministries. So I was here about 2 years. Uh-huh. I was in a class called Day One. And then I left to go to First Baptist South Houston for about 6 years and served over there. And then God called me back here. So total maybe about 10 years.
Okay.
Combined. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I didn't know if you had been here a lot longer than me or mm-hmm. what. So. And then just because your parents, people know and love your parents. Yeah. I know and love your parents.
Yeah, and that's another thing. So I think the best thing I've done for Sagemont is bring my parents here. So I was here for 2 years.
Were you the one that did that?
Okay. I kept telling them, y'all need to get here. Y'all need to get over here. You'll love it. You'll love it. You'll love it. You'll love Brother John. You'll love everything. Once I finally got him here, God called me away. So
oh, how funny.
It was kind of a trade. They got yeah. 2 for 1. But
there you go.
Definitely having my parents here has been great.
Yeah.
They're great people.
Amazing. Jerry and Carol Neal, they're just some of the neatest people that love ministry. Mm. Like they, I think, and I would say this about you too, but I, knowing them, they are people that they are not people that work in the church or get paid to do ministry, but their life is ministry.
Yeah.
And it's what they do.
That's the way I was raised. So my parents always served in church. So my sister and I saw that growing up.
Yeah.
And it was pretty natural for God to call me to the ministry, even though it was a little different. But yeah, they were just always a model for me of service. And we always had people over at the house. And my mom's got an incredible gift of hospitality. Mm-hmm. My dad taught the Bible for years in church. So my sister's a pastor's wife, you know.
Yeah.
So just ministry was just part of what we did growing up. It was normal to us.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit, when you say you do ministry, but I also know you've been a teacher for 27 years?
Mm-hmm, 27 years.
Which is crazy because I asked you this earlier. You've been 26 years at the same school.
Yeah, well, 27 actually, but 27. 26 across the street.
Okay.
So I've been at Thompson Intermediate for 26 years.
That's
so I've
wild.
Got to teach a lot of Sagemont kids
yeah.
and come through my class and see them in school.
What do you teach?
Texas history and U.S. history.
Okay, look history at that. Diet. All the things. That's so fun. Mm-hmm. And so, but then you're talking about ministry and doing ministry. So talk a little bit about how you've done both, because I think it's so important for people to know my job doesn't have to be ministry for me to do ministry.
Right, exactly. So God called me into the ministry at about age 17, and I didn't really know exactly where. I mean, you assume it's going to be like the pastorate, but I didn't really know where. When I went away to A&M, because I felt called to go to A&M, the Lord just really opened some doors, did a lot of evangelism, a lot of missions up there, and that kind of became my heart. So I went overseas with IMB for a year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
where'd you go?
Northern Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
It was fun. So Belfast, Northern Ireland was a great city, a great place to do ministry, and did a lot of youth ministry and senior adults and things like that. Then came back, went to seminary, and still kind of confused. I spent about a year just not knowing what to do, not knowing where I was called to be and where my niche kind of was, because I'd done some youth ministry in the summer and I didn't really feel the church staff place was my spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the Lord just spoke to me one time. I'd been subbing in the public schools for about 5 years while I was going through seminary and graduate school. And I just felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to be a teacher. So ended up getting the job across the street at Thompson and been there for 27 years. We moved down the road to Pearland a year ago, but I was always across the street from Sagemont.
Yeah.
So kind of ironic that I end up
here.
Being able to serve here.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So then over the course of those years, what has ministry looked like for you in being a full-time teacher and doing ministry?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, you know, it's easy sometimes for those of us who have secular jobs to look and our work is just work, and then what we do at church as ministry. But I don't think that's biblical. I think wherever we work and whatever we do is our calling. There's people around us we need to minister to, talk to, love on, pray for. And it's easy to kind of get into the work mode where you don't see yourself as a minister. So being called into ministry has helped me minister at work, because that is my ministry throughout the week. So been able to lead Christ on campus for a while and do a Bible study in my room. I've seen kids saved in the public school. And then because I'm getting paid by Pasadena ISD, by your taxpayer money, by the way, thank you. I've been able to volunteer in churches, and a lot of time it's been churches who couldn't afford to have a college minister or a youth minister or something like that. So I was able to do that on a volunteer basis and be able to provide them with someone who was seminary trained and was able to understand kind of the role of a minister.
I love that. My mom was a teacher forever, and she used to always say, she goes, people will look at me and say, Jesus is not in the public schools. And she said, he comes with me every day.
That's right.
And so
that's
he's
right.
there every day. That's and right. so it's so cool that that you do get to do ministry. And y'all, it's wherever you work, not just in schools, but the impact you've had over generations of students that are coming through your classroom.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
That's really cool. Yeah, yeah. I love that you've gotten to do that. That's awesome. And then I also, such an encouragement, because we also know people that say, I have a full-time job. How in the world do I volunteer at church? How do I have time? I've got to do lesson plans and grade stuff and invest in my students and go to trainings and all the things. And I'm exhausted, you know, all the reasons that we all can come up with to say, I don't have time to volunteer outside of that. And you've always made time for that. Why is that important?
Well, I'm not sure I made time for it as much as it was just a calling. So it was a part of what I did. And I never thought about I'm sacrificing time here. I thought about I'm called to teach this class at church on Sunday, so I'm going to prepare for it. I'm called to take the youth on a trip, so I'm going to do that. Called to whatever. It really wasn't, for me, it wasn't a sacrifice. It was a joy. You know, the ministry is difficult. It always is difficult. But ministry is also a great joy, just to see people grow, to have the relationships with people. So it's been the fun part. I mean, teaching school is pretty difficult.
Sure.
Junior high kids can be be tough. That's not a joyride every day. But ministry is so much fun. Like I said, it's not easy, of course, but that was the fun part of my life.
Yeah, you know, being able to do that. That's awesome. And then here at Sagemont, and I will say, in case y'all hear, we're at church and they're doing work on the roof. So I keep hearing little foots walking over us. So in case you hear that and go, what is that? They're working on our roof. Thank you for making us not leak. I don't know, but we're glad they're up there. So if you hear that, that's what that is. But here at Sagemont, you teach in Common Ground. Tell us first, what is that class? Because Sagemont loves to give everything really cute names. But you don't actually, they don't explain it all the time. So Common Grounds, great name. What is that class?
So Common Grounds is a class of singles in their 30s. And we have some people that will come in their late 20s or early 40s. And we have some married couples in there that come in too. We're not going to turn anyone away, of course. But it's designed for singles in their 30s. So that's the basic.
Did you help start that class, or was it going?
It was going. Okay. Some people asked me to, David and Claudia Mills actually asked me to come in and sub in there.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got started. I spent 5 years just in Stuart's class, just soaking and being ministered to and resting from a lot of years of ministry. And sometimes even wondering, God, are you going to use me again in a church? Because it was a long wait. If you've done ministry your whole life and you have to wait 5 years for something, that's a long 5 years.
Yeah.
It's a tough time. But
good for you for being patient.
Thank you.
Because a lot of people force that.
Yeah.
They're figure out, oh, I'll try this and I'll do this. And then God's like, I really just needed you to wait.
Yes. Rest and wait and get to know the Lord. And I'd never heard anyone teach like Stuart Rothberg. Chuck was great too. I'm a history guy, so I love Chuck's teaching. And then after about 5 years, David and Claudia Mills saw me in a meeting and said, hey, would you come sub for us? I was like, there it is. So I began substitute teaching, and eventually I began to teach a little more.
So tell us a little bit about Common Grounds, and specifically Common Grounds, but just Connect groups also, just in general. What's the purpose? Why would you encourage someone to get involved?
All right, so this has been something the Lord has been teaching me a lot about, because I think we go to church. Those of us, especially who are raised in church, we'll go to church, we'll be there, but a lot of times we don't understand what's happening and the reasons for why we're here and there. And so something the Lord's been showing me lately from His Word and then from just praying and seeking Him is what all goes on when we're up here and what should be going on. So Common Grounds is great. They, you know, single people need fellowship. We all need fellowship, but single people really need fellowship. It's difficult for them to go to church and go home alone on Sunday or go eat alone on Sunday. So every Sunday we go out to eat together, which is fun.
So fun.
Yeah, Stephen Dawkins plans our little restaurants that we're going to, and he's flexible enough to, when we say, hey, we don't really want to go here, we'll go here, he'll change it, you know. He puts up with us for that. But we go out to eat together. They do a lot of stuff throughout the week. They have a Bible study every Tuesday night. I will plan events on the weekends. Two times a month, we're at Baybrook Mall on Friday nights, the first and third Friday of each month, and we are doing evangelism. So we're sharing the gospel at the mall, and that's so been cool. Fun. Mm-hmm. It's kind of my little sweet spot, I guess, if you will, as far as ministry. I love doing evangelism, and I love training people and seeing people grow in that. So we do a lot, and then we'll plan fellowships, like going to main event, going just having fun together.
Yeah, having fun. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important. One, that single folks realizes that the church, and Sagemont specifically, sees them and understands, and I think it's good for all of us to understand, it's hard to walk into a place by yourself.
Yes.
And I have tons of friends that are single, and it's a good reminder for me that they're doing a thing. God is doing a thing with them every single Sunday to walk into this place.
Amen. That's good.
And I think it's important for us to see them, to let them know that we see them, and then encourage them to go, good job. You're doing the hard thing. It's worth it. Do the hard thing. It's worth it. And then for Sagemont to be a place that says, you're doing a hard thing, but you don't have to do it alone.
Right.
You feel like you're doing it alone, but come with us and we'll meet you and we'll sit together and we'll all go to lunch afterwards. Like, that's there. You just got to do the hard thing and show up.
Yeah. And they are very good about that. They're very good about, you know, getting first time guests. We always invite a first time guest to sit with us in the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
So, and 95% of the time, maybe 98% of the time, they do.
Yeah.
They do not want to go in there and sit alone.
Absolutely.
So we invite them to sit with us. They'll come down and we'll just get to know them. We'll invite them to lunch. Most times they don't go to lunch on the first time, but very hospitable. And you have to be that. I mean, if you're not that, I said, church is a place where we do the one another commands. We do love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep hammering to myself first and to my class that when you come up here, it's not about you. It's not about what you're going to get from the lesson. It's not about what you're going to get from the sermon. It's not about you worshiping. That's a big part of it. But the other half of Christianity is what you're going to be for someone else. Mm-hmm. Who are you listening to? Who are you talking to? Who are you meeting? Who are you shaking hands with in the sanctuary who's sitting by themselves?
Yeah.
And you can't really do the one another commands if you just come to church, sit in your spot, go straight to your car afterwards. You know, I like to hang around after church. My mom and I, you know, we're some of the last ones to leave. If we could be, we were always the last ones to leave at Park Place when we were there. But just being together at this, that's church too, and listening to people, and it's, and my class is great with this. They're great with visitors. They're great with fellowship. They're great with inviting people to come to the house on Tuesday, their house on Tuesday night for Bible study and dinner and all this stuff. But we have to fight that. I have to fight it too. We always have to fight that this is not about me. This is about serving God. Who am I here for today? And, and then ministering to them. And so Connect groups are a place that we can do that for people. We can get them plugged in. We can get to know them. In a mega church or bigger church, especially, it's easy for people to come in and hide. And sometimes people want to hide, but you've got to go get them. You got to talk to them and get them out. And I'm not a super extroverted person, but I know enough about being an introvert to know that some introverts, it's very difficult for them just to get out of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
Just going from my car to the sanctuary, back to my mm-hmm. car, hearing a sermon. And that's only part of church. That's not.
Yeah. I love that so much because I think there's so many reasons people walk in and sit down and don't talk to people and then get up and leave, sometimes even before service is over, mm-hmm. you know, so they can get out. And they're they're thinking, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want, you know. Mm-hmm. And, man, it's letting that down to walk in and say, not just, God, what do you have for me, but how can you use me?
Yes.
Because even, like, I mean, I know, y'all, some of the visitors, first-time guests I meet at Sagemont, encourage me tremendously.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. so even as a visitor or a new person, to have that mindset of, God can use me here. I mean, immediately, yes. you know? Mm-hmm. And so coming in, I love that switching of the mindset of not, well, is this place going to have everything I need and meet all of my needs? And what am I going to get out of it? But walking in going, Lord, how can you use me?
Yes.
Today.
Absolutely.
That's, I think if we all did that, man, think about what Sunday morning would be like if everybody was just like, Lord, how can you use me today?
Yes.
It would be awesome. We should all, let's do that. Let's just do that. That'd be great. Let's do that. So I, a couple of things I want to circle back around to that you said.
Okay.
I love that, sorry, and I think people need to know, connect groups aren't just Sunday morning. Almost every single connect group does stuff outside of Sunday morning. And I think it's super important. Why do y'all add those things in? Why do y'all say, hey, we did Bible study on Sunday morning. Why do we need to meet Tuesday night? Why do we need to do other things?
Right. Well, it is hard to get to know someone in a 1 hour connect group, right? Especially when a lot of our structure is lecture style teaching and a lot of the classes and things like that. And people like that. They enjoy that. They want that. Mm-hmm. But just coming into a connect group and just being there Sunday morning, you're not going to really get to know people like you can at other things and fellowships. So the Tuesday night Bible study is more open forum. They'll go through one verse at a time. They'll talk about it. They'll share prayer requests. They'll go around. Everybody will share a prayer request for the week. So that is an absolute important piece. And then even just going to do fun things together. You get to know people when you do fun things. I mean, we love going to Main Event and doing laser tag and shooting each other
laughing and having fun. Yes, it's huge.
And it's just being together and doing life together. And
Yeah, I love that. And then another thing I want you to share a little bit more about how it started and how it's going is the Friday night evangelism that that y'all do. And I know you wouldn't be sad if other people came and helped.
We do that. We have other people that come.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us a little bit, how that start? What do you do? What kind of training is there for somebody that says, that sounds really great, but I've never just walked up to somebody?
Right.
So just share a little bit about that.
Well, that's a great story, too. So I was walking through the parking lot one day, and I saw this tall young man about 20 feet away from me. We looked at each other, and I just went over and shook his hand and got to know him. And then
here at church, like in the church parking lot?
In the Sagemont parking lot, yeah. And so he ended up getting involved in our group, and he has a heart for evangelism. Well, at the time, that gift was kind of lying dormant in me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't witnessing very much. I wanted to witness more, and he had a heart for it. He kept bugging me, like, take me witnessing. It was during the school year, so I was like, let me get to the summer, and then I'll take your witnessing. So looking back, I should have done a lot sooner than that, but I guess it was God's timing. So I took him up to Baybrook Mall, and we had some lunch, and then we went around and witnessed to people, and God just exploded in my heart this gift, fanned it into flame, and used this person that I met in the parking lot to do that. Well, other people in our class began to want to do that too, and a lot of them have never done it, but they wanted to learn. So we started going out to the mall on Friday nights. Eventually, we set it to the first and third Friday of each month. And we've seen some people come to church because of that we met at the mall. And it's really neat, really encouraging. We build relationships with a lot of the vendors there. So the people that work there, a lot of them are from other countries. They are tired. They've been there 12 hours. They get overworked, honestly, by their employers. A lot of them, they've been there since 9, 10 in the morning, and they leave at 10 o'clock at night. And some of them work 6, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And so they love talking to people and having conversations with people. So we'll give them tracts. We'll give them Bibles. We'll talk to them about Jesus. We'll pray with them sometimes. And then we just meet random people in the mall, too, that we feel led to talk to. I personally like to talk to high school kids, especially high school boys, because that's a group that I think a lot of people are scared of. They're walking around with hoods on and things like that, and they're big old boys. But I know them because I've taught them for 27 years. So I'll go up to them and talk to them, hand them little tracts, and then we'll start a conversation about God and Jesus and church. And if you don't, the kids in this generation are extremely hungry for the Lord, and they want to know about God. They don't believe the lie that they don't. Jesus said the fields are ready for harvest and the workers are few. So we're praying for workers in the harvest. We've seen God answer that, and we're going to keep praying that because the fields in Houston are ready for harvest. I'm telling you, I work with them every day at school, but this younger generation did not grow up in church. Yeah. They don't know about God. They don't know about the love of God. Maybe what they heard about Christians is were just judgmental. But when they get to see a Christian who loves them and who has a relationship with God, they're interested. They're interested in learning about God and who He is. So talking to those people at the mall, and it's not just the young people. There's a lot of older people that are interested, too, that didn't grow up in church. It's just so refreshing to be able to share the good news of Jesus and how to be saved and how to go to heaven with someone who doesn't know that and doesn't understand that. And they may even be in a church and grew up in a church, but it wasn't even a very evangelical church. Maybe they were baptized as a baby. Maybe they don't understand how to be saved. And they listen so attentively. And I found that they are, these young people, especially the high school kids, are some of the most polite, respectful people we talked to at the mall. They're, yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with me. It's just amazing. A few weeks ago, we were walking out. We saw a girl sitting there on a bench, and all three of us at the same time just kind of felt like we need to talk to her.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking to her, and she shared some things, and she started crying, and we prayed over her, and she visited church here with us a few weeks ago.
That's awesome.
One of the girls in the group, Michelle Mendez, took her under her wing, got her number, been ministering to her, and Michelle's a new Christian herself, so she kind of understands what this girl has been through. So to go out and see some fruit from that, it's great. And we have other people that join us as well. It's not just Common Grounds, which is really cool. We actually had another church join us last time. Yeah, a church called Pueblo meets in the old First Baptist Pasadena.
Okay.
So it kind of got roots there with Sage Amat with Brother John and everything. And they're a Spanish church, but they came out and joined us. They're bilingual.
That's great.
And they were able to talk to some of the vendors who were Hispanic, who didn't speak very good English, and pray with them and minister to them. And so I love seeing people. Yeah, I love seeing people trained in evangelism and getting their first taste of it and the joy it comes and how easy it is, really. I mean, it's still difficult. You're still nervous. I'm nervous every week.
Sure.
And you need to be a little bit so you can depend on the Lord, right?
Right.
But it's just a joy to see people grow in that area because it's a difficult area for a lot of Christians. You know, we see things and hear things in our culture that tell us they don't want to hear.
Right.
But Jesus has told us to go, and Jesus has told us the fields are ready for harvest, and they do want to hear. They do want to hear about Jesus. And they don't want to be condemned. They don't want to be, they don't want you to win an argument with them. But just in love, sharing what you know about God and how to know God, it's so powerful. It's
amazing. Well, and it's huge for us to speak our salvation story as a reminder to ourselves. Who I was and who I am now solely because of Jesus.
Yeah.
That should get you excited about your own personal salvation. And the more you get to share that with others, it's just that reminder of, Lord, thank you for saving me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's neat for those, you know, to be reminded of your own salvation. And I think it's so cool because we sit in church on Sunday and we celebrate that people are coming to know the Lord every single Sunday. And we celebrate that. But getting to do it personally, you get to celebrate it, but you get to experience that. I mean, I used to teach first grade, and that's kids would learn to read. And I remember it was the best seeing when something would just click and they'd be like, oh, those letters go together and make words and the words make sense. I mean, it was always they just got it. And to get to do that with somebody with the most important thing in their entire life, knowing the Lord, and you get to see somebody go, oh, yeah, I don't have that, and I do need that. It's just the best.
Yes, it is.
And I love that God, of all the things Jesus said do, this is when he said, hey, this is every believer. Everyone, go and do this. And yes, it's for his good and his glory, but he also knew what a blessing it would be.
That's right.
For
That's
us right. to get to participate in that. And so I love that y'all do that. I love that if you're like, hey, I'd love to do that, reach out to Cliff and get details. What kind of training do y'all like do? Like, hey, before you go for the first time, we're going to meet and talk about it. Or is it, hey, we're going to meet at 6 and at 6:30 we're going out?
That's a great question. So it's kind of like learning to swim. You got to get in the pool.
Yeah.
So what we do is, I mean, we'll talk to them a little bit and show them how we do things, but we just walk around kind of as a big group. We don't let 10 people descend on one person, right. But we'll start to talk to people we know, and then one or two people will come up beside us and join in the conversation. And we tell them it's just a conversation. You're just talking to people. And I'll try to start the conversation with people because I'm kind of gifted in that. I can walk up to someone right. if I feel led and say, hey, how you doing? And we actually have this little track that looks like $1 million on one side.
Oh, how
and,
funny.
Yeah. And the reason I like it is because it tears down so many barriers. Like, it's people look at it and they laugh, and we can make a joke about it, and then we can tell them, but what's on the other side is more worth more than all the money in the world.
Oh, that's cool.
And I like leaving a track with someone because they can go home and take it themselves mm-hmm. and read it. So as far as training, if you just want to walk around the first time and watch,
love that.
That's great training, yeah. right? Just watch. I think Jesus said that with his disciples at first. Yeah. He was doing the ministry, and then he sent them out. And so we meet at the first and third Friday in Bayburn Mall Food Court. We've seen other groups from Sagemont there, too,
okay.
that come out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's pretty cool to see God keep sending workers into the harvest field. So we'll train you. We'll teach you. We'll show you. It's not difficult. And you'll find yourself talking after a while because yeah. it's just a conversation. And I've never been one that had an evangelism plan in my mind, like, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to say this.
Right.
And if they say this, I'm going to say that. For me, some people use that and they like that. That's fine. It's the gospel. It's wonderful. But for me, it's always been more of a conversation. So if yeah. I come up to you and you, for instance, you tell me you're Catholic, I would say, well, have you been born again? Do you know what that means? And if they are clueless, then I explain what right. it means or whatever they are. And so it just depends on the person. It depends on, for me, how they're responding to mm-hmm. me. Sometimes you walk up and hand a tract to someone and you can tell they really don't want to talk to you. So then you just back off.
Right.
Sometimes they're interested and you talk more. So I can't really say exactly that we have a training method. But we'll take you into the swimming pool, we'll teach you how to swim.
There you go.
And you'll find yourself talking after a while. It's the Holy Spirit who gives you the words to say.
Love that.
So I can't really plan what the Holy Spirit's going to tell me to say when I go out there. And my fear in evangelism is always that if you have this little plan that you take three people through, and the end is you get them to pray a prayer, how many people are actually know what they're doing? How many mm-hmm. people are praying that prayer because they want to please you or because they right. want fire insurance or whatever. So giving the Holy Spirit a chance to work and giving him space to work and work in people's hearts mm-hmm. and letting it come from them. So one of the guys we met at the mall is from Turkey, and he's come here to Sagemont a couple of times. He came to the firework.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
He grew up in Turkey, and he said he's about, I think he said 68% ready to become a Christian yet.
Wow.
He doesn't want to, he said, I don't want to become a Christian until I'm 100% all in and I'm not going to do any of these bad things anymore. I said, that's good. That's repentance, right? Yeah. When you're ready, and then 100%. So yeah. It's good just to build relationship with people and see them. You know, get to know them, let them know we're real people, and right. let them come to church and see what goes on here. And so, it's not as hard as you think it is. It is scary a little bit, and that's part of it. But I don't think Jesus ever asks us to do anything that he doesn't step in and take over when we step out in faith. So you got to let him do that. And like you said, there's nothing like sharing the gospel with a lost person who's interested. Yeah. It's just like, this is why I'm here. You know, this is why I'm still on the earth. There are people out there in this community, in this city, mm-hmm. what, 4 or 5 million people in the Houston area, and a large majority of them are lost. And I would say a large majority of them want to hear about Jesus and they want to know. Don't assume that they understand what you understand because you grew up in church. They don't.
Absolutely.
And it's a joy to be able to mm-hmm. just start introducing them to that and telling them that, answering our questions or whatever.
Yeah. And y'all, I mean, we have to, I mean, every single Sunday people walk into Sagemont and they don't know the Lord.
Right.
And so even starting there with people you know, sure, ask them about their week, but be bold to say, hey, tell me about your relationship with the Lord. Like, just inside the walls, they're coming in looking for something. They might not know what they're looking for, but man, that's good. Just repetition of getting yourself used to these are great first questions to start conversations that are immediately gospel centered conversations. We spend a ton of time on how was your week and how was your job and how are your kids and what are you doing after church and what are you doing next weekend and how was vacation, you know, how was vacation, which that's great. Build relationships. But man, also just take those opportunities to go, tell me about your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. Or, you know, just how long have you been at Sagemont? That's one of the questions I like, because Sagemont's so big. I get insecure about walking up to people and saying, hey, my name's whatever, and I've been here 40 years or whatever. So
we've never met, but it's
true.
That's
an opening question. How long have you been at Sagemont?
Absolutely.
It's kind of a non-offensive question, and we can start talking, but you're right. My mom once said, she had a pastor friend who said, when people show up to church, they're already seeking.
Yes.
And they're already, there's a reason why they're here. And I love that we're doing invitations now. I love I love the evangelist / pastor God has sent us.
Yeah.
That's one thing we were praying for. That's like, Lord, give us someone who does the work of an evangelist. And so it's been amazing what the Lord is doing.
Yeah,
I think Stuart said we're seeing a little revival right now in our church.
Yeah, it's really fun.
And it's a small wave, but it's a wave. And we're praying that God does even bigger things and greater things in Houston. It's because there's a lot of people in this city who are going to hell and need the Lord, and they're hurting. And they don't know how to heal their hurt. They're trying to fill it with sin and with whatever their friends are telling them to do online or whatever the culture's telling them to do. And we know it doesn't work. We know that all those things you put in your life don't work. And Jesus is what you need. And he is the joy. And he is will satisfy your soul. And you're so right about people showing up here that they're seekers. They're
absolutely
coming here. And so that's an important reminder that we can do evangelism right here.
Inside these
not
walls.
Just with the pastor, but with one another.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. I love that. Y'all, I know Cliff, and if you wanted to take him to lunch or buy him a coffee, do you drink coffee?
I do sometimes in the morning,
Maybe a little coffee. But he will go talk with you. He will spend time with you. He's a huge encourager and cares about people. And so if any of this, you're like, hey, I'd like to know more about that. Or, hey, I work and I'd love to do ministry. What does that look like? How do I step into that? I'm in a season of waiting for the Lord to use me. How do I walk through that patiently and honoring the Lord? And then how do I know when it's the thing that when it is him saying, hey, come do this, y'all, I know he will sit and talk with you 100%. You do go back to school soon.
I do. I start back tomorrow.
Right? All of you teachers, we love y'all. We know it's the time.
Pray for us.
We know it's the time. We know it's coming. But like I said, I know he would love to do that. If you're interested in Baybrook, reach out, ask for those. You said first and third Friday.
In the food court.
Look for Cliff. You just walk up to him and say, hey, I saw you. I want to come participate in this, and they'll take you in. Common Grounds meets at 9:30 in the West Wing, so the wing behind the library. Great group of people if you're looking for a place to connect, especially if you're a single, if you're a single, great place to connect. Take advantage of these things. Do the hard thing. Show up. Sometimes that's the hardest step is to just show up. So we encourage you to do that. And reach out to Cliff ahead of time. He'll meet you in the parking lot. I haven't asked him, but I know that he would.
I know somebody will meet you in the parking lot for
somebody,
sure.
Somebody, I was going
to
say.
No, if you reach out to me, I'll definitely.
Somebody will do that because we get that it's difficult. We get it's a big place. Even if it wasn't a big place, it's hard to walk in. That's sometimes the hardest thing, showing up. So thank you for showing up here today.
All right. Thanks
for
having
me. You did a great job. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Sharon, super cool. Y'all, thanks for hanging out on Table Talk. Hope you enjoyed it. We will see you next time.